Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to read from Galatians. We're going to read from chapter 5, starting at verse 16, then we're going to read to verse 25. Okay? So Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we give thanks to you this morning and this passage from the Apostle Paul. And we just pray that this teaching on how to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, that we would be able to take Paul's teachings to heart, and it would really convict and touch us today, and that we would really be able to align ourselves with you, Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you would open our eyes and mind and heart to your teaching this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you notice, maybe it's so early you didn't notice, but this part in Galatians, in verse 16, it starts by saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And then, at the very end, in verse 25, it ends, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So it's like two bookends. The emphasis is walk by the Spirit. So that's the point. And then in between that, there's a comparison of what it means to walk by the flesh and what it means to walk by the Spirit. Okay? And starting at verse 16, it says, you will not carry out desire of the flesh. So, clear, this is not what you want to do. And then verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Flesh is in opposition with what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants, the flesh is in opposition to it. So you might think the flesh is bad, right? Because obviously whatever the Holy Spirit wants, if it's the opposite, then the flesh is bad. But is the flesh really all bad? And in here, when it talks about when Paul talks about the flesh, it's this word, the Greek word is the word Sarx. Anyway, it's spelled S-A-R-X. And when we're talking about the flesh here, it's not just talking about the literal physical flesh, right? It's talking about what are all those fleshly desires. And later, it talks about those things the acts of the flesh later, where it talks about, for instance, jealousy, anger, right? Are these things of the physical flesh? No. So then when it's talking about the flesh, it's more than that, right? It's talking about, it's inclusive of even your emotions, the things that the flesh needs and wants, right? But I want to say to you, the flesh in itself is not bad, right? We were created in God's image with a physical body, so then why would he do that, right? The desires that we have, are they all bad, right? Even the way I'm thinking, or I'm like, oh, what is considered a fleshly desire? To me, it's like those desires that really don't necessarily, and maybe this isn't the perfect equation, but it's those things that really don't translate into the things into heaven. For example, you know, our jobs, our careers, money, even things to a certain extent, even marriage, right? Marriage. We can't take that into heaven. We can take the relationship we build, but marriage in itself, you know, the Bible says when we're all in heaven, there won't be this idea of marriage where two people are exclusively bound as one flesh together, right? And so is the desire for marriage even something that is not good? No. Is the desire for the opposite gender something not good? No, those things are important, right? The desire for the opposite gender is what partially causes us to want to get married and procreate. However, why does it say that the flesh is in opposition, right? Why does it say it's opposition to the spirit? Because if these fleshly desires are left to its own devices, if we kind of just go with the flow with our fleshly desires, it will become sin. It will become sin. And that's why Paul, he does say in 17, he says, do not do the things that you please. Just because it feels natural, just because it's what you want, don't just give in to it. And so we can see this. Even things that are good, if we give in, do as we please, it can and will become sin. So for example, something like marriage, good, right? It's clear in the Bible that marriage is something that's encouraged. But if we put it on a pedestal, the way we pursue marriage, we don't go about it in the sense of, you know, what is marriage about? It's about relationship, right? And you don't go about it in such a way that's about relationship and you just, it's just a checkbox that I need to fulfill in life, because once I do that, then I will be satisfied. And if you have that kind of mindset, what is it? You could say it's idolatry, right? All those things, same thing. God wants us to bless you with a good job, that you would, you know, be fulfilled. But depending on how you approach your job, right? If it's about God, right? You're grateful. You recognize he's putting you in your job with a purpose, with a reason. Wonderful. But if you're there to just build up your own kingdom, that you would feel empowered there and feel important, and you get your value from your job, not good. Greed, right? And so the flesh in itself is not a bad thing. God created us with this flesh. But left unchecked, if we do as we please, if we're not, and I think that this is the key, if we're not intentional with things, those things can turn, it says, into immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And just to be clear, it does say here, if you weren't clear that getting drunk is a sin, it's listed here. So there is biblical text. And then also, falling drunkenness, it uses, in the NASB, it says the word carousing. In the NIV, it says the word orgies. And so, just to be clear, because I think oftentimes this word orgies is used in the context of sensuality, but what it's talking about here in orgies, it's talking about drunken orgies. Basically, it's talking about a gathering of people together who are basically a drinking party where people, if I were to describe it, and it's not so uncommon, is you get together and you're just throwing back drinks and the purpose is to get super drunk and it's very happy and lively, right? And yes, so whether you're drinking, getting drunk on your own, or it's because in a social context where it's celebratory, I guess, you shouldn't be doing it. Because again, drinking in itself, right, is not necessarily sin. Jesus turns water into wine, talks about the practical elements of drinking. If you have a, what is it, if you have a upset, uneasy stomach, it says drink a little alcohol in the Bible and it'll make you feel better, right? So drinking in itself is not a sin. But why do, again, it's always the why, it's the motivation. Why is drinking bad? Not just because it says it, right? And I think part of it, there's different reasons, but for myself, when I used to drink, also when I used to smoke up pot, it was as a way of escaping, right? I wasn't happy. I wasn't satisfied, and I needed this escape, this outlet. And yeah, life seemed better, more fun when I was drunk. And so we don't want to just give in to our fleshly desires. We have to search our hearts, be intentional, not go with the flow. And I know this is very difficult, especially, I'm sure all over the world, but Hong Kong, I think especially when you're so busy, right? I can't imagine, like, especially for those who are like working moms, you're so busy, you have to take care of your, I think of my wife, you know, she's, you know, got to manage her family, her full-time job. You know, she's house church leading ministry. She's trying to be a good wife, be a good mother, take care of doing homework stuff. It's crazy. It's like, you just go, 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 go. But if you don't take a breather, take a step back sometimes, and take the time, you will fall into the things of the flesh, right? If you just do as you please and do what's needed and just go, you're just operating out of your flesh, right? And I know that's incredibly hard to to not do that and even be aware of what's going on. And the only way we don't do that is we have to walk in the Spirit, right? And that's Paul's message here. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And how do you know if you're walking in the Spirit? By the fruit. By the fruit. How do you know? And it's interesting. Why, you know, it says, talked about, Paul talks about the flesh and instead calls it the acts of the flesh. In another translation, it's the deeds of the flesh. Why didn't he use the word, oh, the acts of the Spirit are this, this, this? Instead, he says the fruit of the Spirit, right? And I think one of the reasons is in order for us to bear fruit, it's not something we can do on our own strength, right? In order to bear fruit, we have to be fully dependent on the Spirit, on God. And that's in, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? And we know, if a fruit, once it's plucked, once it's taken off the vine or, you know, the branch, the tree, it can no longer grow. The only way a piece of fruit can grow is if it's attached to the source. And so I think that's one of the big reasons why he calls it, I mean, it's a metaphor, right? That's why he's saying fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. And how does he describe fruit of the Spirit? He says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And notice it's grammatically kind of funny because it talks about the fruit, singular, but then it lists all these fruits. So it should either be, so it really should say the fruits of the Spirit, but it says fruit. I don't think it was a grammatical mistake. Because there is just one fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Paul keeps talking about love, right? And this love that is mentioned here, it's not just our human love. You know, it's not our phileo love where, you know, we love someone because they love us. This is talking about God's love. And so this is the agape love, the unconditional love, the sacrificial love where it's not conditional to it being reciprocated, right? It's just unconditional. And so this fruit is love, and the qualities that this fruit has is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so the implication is another thing about fruit, right? A fruit has many different qualities. For example, a mango. It has a giant seed in the middle. It's sweet, a little bit tart, and it's yellow on the outside. It always has those qualities, right? It's all those things put together that makes it a fruit, or makes it a mango, I mean. If it's suddenly the size of a blueberry and it's blue, it's no longer a mango. So the implication is the fruit of the Spirit also has all these qualities. And how do you know you are really exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Love is all these things are happening. And it's supernatural. And so if, for example, if someone is super joyful, they seem so happy, right? They always has a smile on the face, but then they're so anxious. The opposite of peace. They're full of anxiety, but when you see them, they're so happy. They're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is something supernatural. And I would say, why is it talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love? Why is it so important? Because oftentimes, we get mixed up with the importance and value of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, right? Even, you know, like for instance, if you say, if you know, you hear this term, oh, so-and-so, right? Like Sybil, she's so on fire for God. It's like this Christian term, so on fire. Have you seen, oh, they're so on fire for God. What does that mean? Usually people will say, oh, it's because, you know, they're serving. They're really serving a lot. And yeah, right? They're exhibiting the gifts of the Spirit, serving a lot. They're prophesying all these things. But I want to say to you, maybe a better gauge is if they're really exhibiting fruit of the Spirit. And I've seen this in people, right? Where I've said, wow, they're so on fire for God. And to me, they were so filled with these qualities. And it was beyond their natural, because what I saw was, this is not something natural, right? Natural, we have our ups, our downs, it's conditional, but this person is so filled of joy. So, all these qualities, but how I saw is so willing to listen, to serve, to love, to help others, right? And it didn't seem like it was like they needed something. Like they were just operating in the fruit of the Spirit. And to me, maybe that's a better quality when we're saying, oh, someone's so on fire for God. And we know this because Paul, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit and how he says, without love, it is like a clashing gong, right? It's like a noisy thing. Basically, if you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit, without love, it's pretty much worthless, right? And so we want to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. And I think he's telling us this, I mean, one, so we'll do it, but two, so we can discern and humble ourselves, right? Are we? And I want to say to really live this out, to have the fruit of the Spirit manifesting, is not easy, right? Because, again, we are on earth, put on earth, in this fleshly body. And our fleshly body, the desires of the fleshly body are in opposition to what the Spirit wants. And so it's this battle. It's this battle to live by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and have the fruit of Spirit in our lives. So if you're like, oh, I don't have all these qualities, don't feel condemned. Don't feel condemned. We need to just start living by the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, it just happens naturally. And that's another quality of the fruit, right? Fruit that grows on a tree, it's going to come inevitably. You don't force it. You don't will it. You don't try harder, right? You can't say, fruit, grow faster. There's nothing you can. You just have to be planted and attached to the tree, right? Be part of the tree. And Paul, he says, how he gives us instructions at the end. How is it that we live by the Spirit? How do we bear this fruit? What do we do? He says, there's three things. Verse 24 at the end, he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. So there's three things. Number one, so super fast. Number one, he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus. First is we have to recognize who we belong to. Who owns us? Who is the Lord of our lives, right? Jesus. But we also, oftentimes, even though at the moment where we give our life to the Lord, we call out, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Sometimes we know what it means. Sometimes we don't fully know what that means, right? And we take the control away, but we need to offer that control to the Lord because we gave our life to him, right? Number one. Number two, it says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the result of belonging to Christ Jesus, the result of what would happen is that you would be crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so that means you would die to yourself. So all our desires, not necessarily bad desires, right? But all those desires, even like the desire for marriage, for, you know, get promotions, to, can't think of anything else, watch Netflix. All those things aren't bad, but we need to die to it. We need to surrender it. And then that doesn't mean it never happens, but then after you surrender it, you pray, God, what do you want? And oftentimes, what God wants and what you want can come into alignment, right? So things like, yeah, those things I messaged, watching Netflix, getting married, eating delicious food, all things of the flesh. But if it's in alignment with what God wants and not in excess, it's fine, right? And then finally, as you give your ownership, belong to Christ Jesus, you die to yourself, then it says, walk by the Spirit, right? Allow, after you die to yourself, you're like, now what do I do? I said, oh God, then you say, God, what do you want? God, what do you want? Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of me, what do you want? And He will lead you, right? And as you live in that way, there's this freedom that comes. And Paul talks about you're no longer under the law. Because otherwise, you're being controlled by what you can and cannot do. That's the law, right? What you can and cannot do. Oh, I don't want to commit this sin because otherwise there's going to be consequences. Or, oh, should I do this or not? Because I want to receive the full blessing of the things. And so that is not how you're supposed to live, what you can and cannot do. How you want to live is live by the Spirit. And so Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, right? And the Holy Spirit is part of that fulfillment, where when we live by the Spirit, living and bringing fruit of the Spirit, love, and living in that way, it's gonna free you. You don't have to stress, you don't have to overthink, you don't have to be anxious, you can be decisive in what you, this is what I do, this is what I need to do, and you just do it, right? So we'll invite Sybil up. Yeah, and I just want to encourage us during this time to just connect. I know to not do as we please. We have this space right now for the next 15, 20 minutes where you have this space with you and God. And whatever desires that you have, I mean, those three things I mentioned of giving ownership back to God, who you belong to, dying to yourself, and committing to walking in the Spirit. Let's do that. So what that looks like is, yeah, just whatever desires, whatever things, whatever anxiousness, whatever thoughts that are overwhelming you, that you would go before the Lord, you would offer it to Him and say, Lord, I offer this to you, all the control that is so difficult to let go of. Would you help me to let it go? And God, would you be the one to direct my steps? Holy Spirit, would you enter my life and lead me? Let's pray.
Your love is devoted, like a rain of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's while I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Praise will.
I felt the Lord. I just wanted at a word, and I just felt like God wanted to encourage us and say to you, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. I felt like he say, you know, with man, it is impossible, but with me, all things are possible. And yeah, and the reality is you are not walking alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's walking with you. He's doing a work in you. He's guiding you. And he can make it possible. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. I pray that this word would free us, remove burdens, or make us feel as we look at life that, oh, it's so overwhelming. It's impossible. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. That the sense of hopelessness that can creep in, Lord, we would catch it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we say, no, we can find and live by those qualities. Joy, peace, hope. Because we can always hope in you, Lord. We can always hope, God, because we have your presence with us, carrying us, even if we fall, even in the worst case scenario, you are there to catch us, to pick us up, Lord. And so, thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to our screens and let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those with cancer and also going through recovery through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for hope. Let's pray for God's healing touch. For those who are suffering from illness and salvation, let's pray for opportunities for open heart to receive the word of salvation. Let's pray for God to use to heal them and use the healing to reveal himself to these loved ones.
Let's also cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God to encourage and heal. For a community looking for jobs. Goes to our Tuesday prayers. Let's cover our home. Let's pray for Hong Kong, the government, Wealth Gap, Revival, Churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's cover Hong Kong. Cover the staff. Let's pray for unity, that we would work together and work well together. For the hospitality team, let's pray for the welcoming barista and our newly formed logistics team, which runs the whole service, Sunday service. Also pray for the worship, sound, and AV team. Pray for the pregnancies. Let's continue to cover and pray Kathleen, Jade, Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, and others. Finally, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K House, OPR, and Princeton. Father God, Lord, we just give thanks to you today and your word today and your desire for us to not walk in the flesh. Let the flesh lead us in what we do, but we would walk in the Spirit and bear this fruit, love. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your discernment. That we would hear your voice so clearly whenever there's something you want to nudge us towards or share about, that we would be able to hear you, discern, and make the decision, the choice to walk by the Spirit. And so I just want to bless everyone with us today, whether you're here in person or with us online. I want to bless you. I want to bless your spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit would be the one to lead your mind, your body, your will, your emotions, your choices. Everything that you experience today, Holy Spirit would be the one to lead you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everybody.